In just a moment, we'll stand and sing a song to invite you to answer the call of our captain and great commander, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be enlisted in the greatest army the world has ever known, the Lord's army, that you might march neath the banner of the cross. Appreciate you being here today. It's good to see you. We have visitors with us, and we're always glad to have you. Solomon in the Ecclesiastes in chapter 3 and verse 6 talked about a time to keep. That word keep occurs 362 times throughout this book. Did you know that man's first job was that of a keeper? As Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15 finds the Lord God taking man and putting him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Abraham was a keeper. In the book of Genesis, when we read about the life of this great man of God, in chapter 17 and in verse 9, God said unto him, "Thou shalt keep my covenant." And in chapter 18 and verse 19, God said of Abraham, "I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord." If you'd been Abraham, would the Lord have had confidence in you, as he did him, of being a keeper? Likewise, the children of Israel were expected to be keepers. In the book of Exodus in chapter 12, when the Lord instituted the Passover, they were to be Passover keepers, Exodus 12:14. Also, they were to be keepers of the Lord's statutes. Not statues, but statutes. That's his commandments in the book of Exodus 15 and verse 26. They were covenant keepers, Exodus 19:5. In the giving of the law, it is said, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy." And so they were Sabbath keepers, Exodus 20 and verse 8. They were keepers of their souls in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4, and in verse 9, it is recorded, "Keep thy soul diligently." Would you have been a keeper of your soul had you been Old Testament Israel? Furthermore, they were to be word keepers. In Deuteronomy 23 and in verse 23, it is said, "That which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep." And so they were to be keepers of the word. The Bible talks about lots of different keepers. Sheep keepers, Genesis 4 and verse 2. Prison keepers, Genesis 39:21. Carriage keepers, 1 Samuel 17:22. Wardrobe keepers, 2 Kings 22:14. Forest keepers, Nehemiah 2:8. Gate keepers, Nehemiah 3:29. Vineyard keepers, Song of Solomon 1:6, and doorkeepers in Jeremiah 35 and verse 4. When Solomon portrayed the aging process, he talked about in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. In the book of Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 3. And when Paul talked to Titus about things to teach aged women to teach the young women, he said to be keepers at home in Titus 2 and verse 5. And so the Bible has lots to say about keeping. And in the remainder of our time, I'd like to try to impress upon our mind the fact that we are keepers and some things that you and I need to be keepers of. First of all, the Bible emphasizes that you and I are tongue keepers. The scriptures time and again emphasize the importance of men and women keeping their tongue. The psalmist in Psalm 34 and in verse 13 had this to say, "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile." I like what the psalmist said in Psalm 39 and verse 1. He said, "I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue." Listen, "I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me." He recognized that it's important to keep the mouth because you can sin with your tongue. Makes for a good study. sins of the tongue. You could talk about such sins as talebearing, slander, lying, filthy communication, and the list goes on. And so it's imperative that we be tongue keepers. In Psalm 141, verse 3, the psalmist said, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." The wisdom book also has some things to say about tongue keeping. In Proverbs 13 and verse 3, it is written, "He that keepeth his mouth," what about him? "Keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." And then again in Proverbs 21 and verse 23, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." And so be impressed with the importance of being a tongue keeper. But also, the scriptures emphasize that not only are we tongue keepers, but we are heart keepers. In the book of Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 23, listen to this ancient admonition. "Keep thy heart." And the heart that the Bible speaks of is up here. Not this blood pump that pushes blood through the body, but the part of man that thinks, as he thinketh in his heart. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. The part of man with which obedience is accomplished. As Paul said in Romans 6:17, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye obeyed from the heart." And Solomon in Proverbs 4 says, "Keep thy heart how? With all diligence." That is, it's going to take some effort. It's not going to be by accident or by chance. We have to work at it. For out of it, the heart, are the issues of life. And so we're heart keepers. The heart's important. "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh," Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34 through 37. And in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, one way that we keep our heart is by, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." And so we're heart keepers. But in the third place, the scriptures point out that we are self keepers. Numerous times the Bible directs itself to be keepers of yourselves. And that word "yourselves" suggests the individual responsibility. You can't keep me no more than I could try to be a keeper of you. In Acts 15 and 29, when there was a discussion in Jerusalem about whether it was needful for the Gentiles to be circumcised to be saved, they determined that there was no such commandment given. But letters were written that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. Listen. "From which, if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well." And then he said, "Fare ye well." May you and I fare well in keeping ourselves from these things. Acts 15 and verse 29. In that same concept, in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, Paul said, "I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And so Paul, in essence, is saying, "I'm a keeper of myself." And you and I need to do the same, lest we should be a castaway. Steve did a good job reading to us from 1 Timothy 5. And in verse 22, we're admonished in the last three words, "Keep thyself pure." And so we're self-keepers. James, in James 1 and verse 27, addressing individual responsibility, said, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, What is pure religion? To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself, what's the rest of that, unspotted from the world. Some folks become spotted because of a failure to be keepers. In 1 John 5 and verse 21, John said, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Idolatry is a real problem in the form of covetousness. As Paul said in Colossians 3, 5, covetousness, which is idolatry. And the Lord issued a stern warning about that in Luke 12 when he said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And then he told about the rich farmer who left everybody but himself out of his thinking. And God said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" And the Lord said, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Keep yourselves from idols. Jude, and in verse 21, said, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." In order to have eternal life, we've got to be keepers of ourselves. How are we doing in that department? But another area in which we need to be keepers. Number four, we are memory keepers. How's your memory today? Spiritually. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said, beginning in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand." Listen to this verse. "By which also you are saved, if what? Ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." And so that emphasizes that we're memory keepers and shows that our salvation is conditional. Some people think that once you're saved, you're always saved. This says saved if. If is a term that suggests a condition. Condition upon what? Being a memory keeper. Keeping your memory. Evidently, Peter saw some merit in being a memory keeper when he wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, "I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." He said in verse 15, "Moreover, I'll endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." So, though we know the truth, and we may be established in it, we still need to be reminded of it because we're memory keepers. We keep in memory by doing, continuing to do. May we not become careless and forget. As Peter talked about in 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22, those who forgot, they became entangled again. And he said the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Another area in which we are keepers, number five. Did you know the Bible teaches that you and I are unity keepers? We're commanded in Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 3 to endeavor to keep. What's the word endeavoring mean? Unity is no accident. It's not here by chance. But you've got to work at it. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Scriptures put a lot of emphasis on unity. The psalmist sang in Psalm 133, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Not everybody enjoys that. I'm thankful we do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul wrote the church where it had been reported that there were contentions among them. What was his beseech? He said, "I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That's how we keep unity. Speaking the same thing, no divisions, perfectly joined together, same mind, same judgment. May all of us heed the exhortation of Paul to the Romans in chapter 14, 19, when he said, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." How do we keep peace? One way we keep peace and unity is by living as the Lord have us live. In the context of Ephesians 4, verse 1, he said, "Walk worthy." Another way we keep peace or unity is by having the right attitudes. Lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Verse 2. We keep peace by promoting these singular truths, these seven wands. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. We promote peace and keep unity by realizing the body is not one member, but many, and supplying our part. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And so may you and I be unity keepers. Among the seven things the Lord hates that are an abomination to him, in Proverbs 6, you know what one of those is? He that soweth discord among brethren. May we keep unity so as to not allow any discord to be sown among us. The Lord feels so strongly about that in the church that in Romans 16, 17, he said, "Mark them which cause divisions and offenses and avoid them." We do that because we're unity keepers. But then number six, and finally, as you think about we are keepers, the Bible multiple times emphasizes the fact that we are commandment keepers. You can't read very far into this book without realizing that. In fact, the keynote of Deuteronomy is obedience. In Psalm 78 and in verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep. Keep what? His commandments. Of all the Psalms, Psalm 119 puts much emphasis on the Lord's Word. In fact, there are different ways it's spoken of. Word, commandments, precepts, judgments, statutes, law, and the list goes on. And there are multiple passages in this Psalm that talk about keeping the commandments. You might jot these down. Psalm 119:2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Verses 4 and 5. Thou hast commanded us. Commanded us what? To keep thy precepts. Keep them how? Diligently. And he said, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Verse 8. I will keep thy statutes, he says. Verses 33 and 34. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it. How long? Unto the end. It's a good statement, isn't it? Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Verse 44. So shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever. Verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. Verse 60. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. 88. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. 106. I have sworn and I will perform it. What is it that you'll perform? That I will keep thy righteous judgments. 1:15. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. 1:29. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. 1:34. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. And then 1:45 and 46. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. Wonderful, isn't it? May his attitude be reflected in our hearts. Keepers of his commandments. Did you know that's the whole duty of man? Ecclesiastes 12, remember, Solomon? Lived life to the fullest, didn't he? Looked on the works of his hands, he said, vanity, vexation of spirit. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's what it's all about, Ecclesiastes 12, 13. If I go through life and I don't learn that, my life will be in vain. Don't let it be with you. Luke 8, 15. When you think about being a commandment keeper, in the parable of the sower, he talked about the seed fell four different places, wayside, some fell on a rock, some among thorns, and on good ground. And he said in Luke 8:15, on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, do what? Keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. You can't be a fruit producer spiritually. You can't be productive if you don't keep the word. You don't keep the seed in your heart. In Luke chapter 11 and in verse 28, Jesus said, blessed are they that hear the word of God, period, not yet, and keep it. Not enough to just hear it. The blessing's not just in the hearing of it, but he said, hear the word of God and keep it. Some hear, it goes one ear out the other, and that's as far as it goes. No keeping. In John 8, 51 and 52, the Lord, again, talks about the importance of being a keeper. A keeper of the commandments, a keeper of his word. He said, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. That's important. In fact, his love is connected with our keeping his commandments. John 14, 15. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Somebody said, I love the Lord. The proof is in the commandment keeping. Verse 23. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Can't get away from that. 15:10. He said, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. See, it's inconsistent for me to say, oh, how I love Jesus, and not be a commandment keeper. 1 John 2 and verse 3, John sometimes referred to as the apostle of love because he said so much about it. Among the love writings, he said, hereby we do know that we know him. That word know is used in the sense of fellowship. How do we know that we know him? We're in fellowship with him. If we keep his commandments, 1 John 2, 3. And then verse 4, he said, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar. The truth is not in him. 1 John 3:22, he said, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And so a failure to be a keeper is a prayer hindrance. You ever pray and wonder, is God going to grant that? God answers prayers conditionally. He said, if we keep his commandments. If I don't keep his commandments, then I shouldn't expect God to answer my prayer. 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And so much has been said, hasn't it, in this book about being a keeper. The Lord has always expected his people to be keepers. May we be tongue, heart, self, memory, unity, and commandment keepers. Would you like to become a part of the Lord? Lord's army. We sang about it. We're going to extend the Lord's invitation to you. He's invited you. He said, if any man will come after me, let him. He gave some conditions. Some things the Lord requires of us. We have to begin by hearing His word. You can't enlist if you haven't heard about it. That's how faith is produced in our hearts. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. And faith is essential. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11:6. Repentance is necessary. The Lord taught, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. So I've got to make some changes in my life, as required by this book. Confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. The Ethiopian said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have you made that confession? Acts 8:37. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:16. It's demonstrated in Acts 8 when they came unto a certain water. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch, he baptized him. Came up out of the water. And so it can be with you today. All things have been made ready and are convenient, that you might be buried with Christ in baptism. And then, having heard, believed, and obeyed, and been baptized, to be a keeper. Keep your tongue, keep your heart, keep yourself, keep your memory, keep unity. Keep the commandments so that you can be granted entrance into the beautiful abode the God of heaven has prepared for the faithful. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. So said John, Revelation 22:14. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel, but you've not been keeping things like you need to. You become negligent. Things that have been given and granted to you, you failed to keep, and they've gotten away from you. And you need to get back on track. You need to be faithful as one of God's stewards. You need to say, I've sinned. I've missed the mark. Would you pray for me? We will. Won't you come? Always stand and sing.